All right, good morning. So just a show of hands, this is our second week. Who was here last week? Great. If you are interested in getting last week's outline, there are some extra copies on this chair here, so feel free to help yourself. Or if you'd like to take outlines from today, there's extras for today if there's someone you'd like to give those to. You know, people love those times when I was in this, they should have been here. And they, so therefore I'll bring them the outline. So, but please feel free to grab either of last week's or this week's. And so the topic for today is we're going to speak on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so if you wouldn't mind, open your Bibles with me to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, look with me as I read beginning in verse 16. James says, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creation." So as I mentioned, we're going to be talking today about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so I want to read this verse as we go into prayer now. It's just acknowledging that the gifts of the Spirit and every good gift that God gives to us is in fact from him and used for his purpose. So will you join with me as we pray? Our Father in heaven, we are grateful to be together this morning and grateful that we would be together to talk about a subject which, when we look at it, when we look at its proportion in Scripture, we know is an important topic to you. You want to teach us about the gifts of the Spirit, not just so our heads would be filled with knowledge, but that you would propel us forward into practice, that we would see the good purpose for which you give spiritual gifts to your church and to us individually as Christians. For God, you have a purpose to build your kingdom and to make much of Jesus Christ in this world. And how mysterious it is for us to recognize as we look at these passages of Scripture, God, how it is that you will use us, that you will use fallen, broken vessels, weak in many ways, and yet you will use us and the gifts that you bestow upon us to accomplish the impossible, to establish your kingdom in this world, to make much of the name of Jesus Christ, to advance your cause. And so, God, we are grateful for the time that we have this morning to learn and be provoked to action with regard to the spiritual gifts. Help us now as we discuss this topic, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Okay, so a couple of things. I want to start, first of all, I wrote some goals for the day today. There's one that's written on the top of your outline, and that is we want to learn more about the gifts of the Spirit. But even as I just prayed, if all we do is just learn more, that's of some value. But as a pastor and as your friend, I want us to kind of go to the next level of that, is not only shall we learn, but hopefully we would be provoked to earnestly desire, to earnestly pursue the spiritual gifts in our own life personally. And really in the end, I want us to all to leave even just a bit more confident, a bit more convinced that God wants us to take action, that we are a part of the kingdom that he's building and we are a part of the church that he's established. And each of us has our own purpose and he's gifted us to play a role. And so if even just the notion of stewardship of gifts, if you leave here today with that in your thinking, maybe didn't come with that today, then I think mission accomplished. So it's growing in our knowledge, but it's growing in our knowledge so that, in fact, we would have faith to take action. So those are my goals for today. What is not going to take place today, though I listed a number of things out here, excuse me, it's not my intention to go through a sort of gift inventory. In other words, we're going to look at the places of Scripture. I have five verses that are laid out here where we can look at gifts that are mentioned in Scripture, but I'm not going to dive into, like, for example, a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom. Can we differentiate between the two? That really isn't the purpose for the class today, although that's a good thing to do. And I would say to you, that's a kind of study I think personally is very beneficial. And also, it's the type of thing that another class could really help with, but we decided we were going to only have a fixed number of classes. And this you could take several weeks to go through each of these. And so maybe that's a follow-on activity that we could pursue personally or one with another. So, you know, that's my goals. And my goal is not to go into every detail on each of these, but I'm putting these verses up here and I'm putting these gifts up here for a purpose which I think will become clear in just a moment. So on your outline, and you have an outline in front of you, the first thing we want to talk about is these gifts of the Holy Spirit. There are a wide variety of gifts. As I prayed, There's a topic, you know, this topic of spiritual gifts is dealt with in large measure in the Scriptures and the practice of the New Testament church. And so if it was important enough for God to record it in Scripture, so it's certainly an important enough topic for us to wrestle with in our lifetime as well. So there's a number of passages, five different passages I've recorded here, and you'll see that there's a lot of overlap. So some of the gifts are listed multiple times, and hopefully maybe you can kind of spot those as both we read these passages together as well as just kind of look at what I've written here on the board. But let's go through and let's read these passages so that we can kind of get a better sense for the breadth of what God is teaching. And so I'm going to ask if we could just kind of share around. By the way, so 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through, it probably says 8 through 1. There's only one missing there. It's 8 through 11. So if we could go around and just take turns kind of reading these out loud, that would be really helpful. So, Alan, since you sat on the front row and you were going to make faces at me, you get to go first. Could you read loudly 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 8 through 11? Sure. Great. So I took the time this morning just to kind of write these out. So the types of gifts that are listed in that one passage, there's quite a few. So words of wisdom, words of knowledge, faith, healing, working of miracles, prophecy, the ability to distinguish or discern spirits, various kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. Can I have a volunteer who would read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28? So, apostles, prophets, teachers, the working of miracles, healing, helping, administration, various tongues. So we see, like, tongues are in both of those lists in the same chapter. We're going to see a lot of overlap as we kind of work our way through. Would someone be willing to please read Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8? And just read it out loud. Okay, thank you, David. So isn't it interesting, as you get to Romans, there seems like when you're in the 1 Corinthians 12 passages, there's this sort of list, this inventory of gifts. But there's maybe a little bit of a different flavor as Paul is teaching the Romans here. And so what stands out when David read that passage? What might be the context or what's happening here that's maybe a bit different from the Corinthians passage? Yeah, so the 1 Corinthians passage seems to be giving sort of just this long list of gifts. Whereas Paul to the Romans is teaching how it is that you will actually practice these gifts. So he says, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. So different levels of gifting, right? So, but if we're going to practice these gifts, if it's prophecy, do it in proportion with your faith. In service, in serving and the one who is teaching in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes, do it generously. So it's not just that we have these gifts, but we're actually to practice them in a particular way. Would I get a volunteer to read Ephesians 4:11? Okay, so there we've heard apostles and prophets and teachers. We've heard that already, but shepherds is listed there. Okay, and then finally, can someone please read 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11? Okay, so basically two broad categories, right? Speaking and serving. But is there anything stand out in terms of how that is delivered? Like what might be the context there? So the purpose, right? So that God could be glorified. We haven't quite seen that yet. Anything else? I think there's this other element that we've seen already, and just the proportion in which God gives us the faith to do it, you know, using these gifts. And interesting, the speaking, he doesn't give the specific details. He might be referring to things like words of wisdom, words of knowledge, and those particulars, but he's saying in speaking. And what are they supposed to speak? The oracles of God, right? So this is God's wisdom that he wants to impart to his people. So this is, again, it's a broad list. As you go through the list, you can sort of circle and identify where there's some duplication of those lists. And your outline would make clear here, at least the contention is, that these aren't an exclusive list of all the gifts could possibly be exercised in the life of the church. They're given as a representative list. But I would argue that there is reason to expect that the gifts that God gives to his people would express themselves well beyond just this list here. And so it's going to get into some of these topics of natural versus supernatural and all that. But the idea for us is just to have a sense that God has a wide array of gifts, and he gives those gifts for a purpose, part of which we've already seen, so that he would be glorified. Point B on the second page of your outline then deals with this topic or asks this question, are gifts natural versus supernatural?
It's very tricky to say for an explanation. See the appendix, it's not included.
Yes, it is. Thank you for pointing that out. Appreciate that. So the appendix is something we're actually trying to find what originally came with the material. That wasn't provided for you. We will hope to have that in hand before the class is over. And I think this material is getting posted on the website, so we'll see about getting that that posted as well. There is, in that, should be a much more detailed explanation. So as I started from the beginning, this isn't an inventory to go down into the details of these, but what really is the difference between this gift or that gift when it comes to some of these speaking gifts? So that would be the purpose of providing something like that. Some gifts, they do seem more natural, leadership, mercy, administration, while others seem more supernatural, prophecy, healing, tongues with interpretation. But yet all these gifts are from God. So there are seemingly natural abilities that are still gifts from God, unless they're empowered by the God for a particular use in the church. They will never reach the magnitude or the fruitfulness if they were just things that we naturally do well and they're not imbibed by the power of the Holy Spirit. We may be able to accomplish good things, but we'll never be able to accomplish what God intends for us to accomplish through the using of these gifts. And so a lot of what we're going to spend some time looking at is going to be kind of how do we identify the areas of gifting in our lives. And so I'll ask a few questions about that in just a moment. But I want to say this, and it's not necessarily written this way in the notes, but my appeal is when I ask myself the question, you know, where is it that I'm gifted? I think part of the answer is when anybody's gifted in the church and they are faithfully practicing the gifts that God has given to them, I think it's going to be conspicuous and obvious. In other words, two of us could have a longing for the same thing and a desire for the same thing, one of us gifted and one of us not. And so if you put us side by side, I think the difference is going to be very clear. And that's just God's giving of the gift. And so it may be there just but be differences in the manner and measure in which he gives a gift, but it could be that I just don't possess that gift at all. It doesn't mean that I shouldn't earnestly desire that gift, but it does mean that we will all be gifted in different ways because God is varied in the manner in which he wants to gift his people. If there's extra outlines, could you pass those over? It's always great when the class is bigger than the number of outlines that were provided. But if we're going to go fish and loaves on this one, I think it's going to be just fine. Point C on the second page, the source of the gift. So in 1 Corinthians 12, as we've spent a little bit of time looking at some verses in there, this precedes the verses that we read already. Paul says this, "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activity, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone." So it's God who's doing the work. He is empowering his people with the gift that he intends to give and the measure in which he intends to give it. And that puts us in a precarious place of just trying to earnestly desire and pursue, which we'll look at in a moment. And yet, you know, am I gifted in this particular way? If we've never actually been given an assignment, if we've never actually stepped out in faith to at least try, there may be some latent gift there we'll never know about. And so some of the courage that God will call us to as we seek to find out how it is that he's gifted us will be to step out in faith and trust and in humility to try and maybe fail. But that's okay. If we fail in the right ways that God calls us to, it still will build our faith, even if we wind up we're not gifted in that particular way. But let's not lose sight of the fact that God is the giver of these gifts, and his intention is to give them in different measure. And so it's tempting for me to be jealous of someone else who's maybe more gifted than I am. That's not God's intention. But it is God's intention for me to see, when I see the gifts of the Holy Spirit that are working powerfully in you as his church, it's humbling to recognize what kind of a God would care about us like that. I mean, I've been praying this week, and I have faith that even in our meeting this morning, that God will bring forth gifts to be practiced, that he is intending to benefit and bless his people today. And so when you watch that unfold, it's wonderful. You realize that God cares so much about his church that he knows exactly what we need when we need it. And so often he's going to do that through the practicing of the gifts of his people. It's not just a relative few, but it says here, he has given them to all. So everyone benefits because God blesses and gifts every person. He goes on later in that same chapter in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. And then in verse 18, but as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them as he chose. So let me stop here for a moment and just ask you the question. It's in the outline here, but just if coming here today, what would you, how would you answer the question, what are the purpose of the gifts? Why is God giving gifts to his people?
So we can serve.
Pardon?
So we can serve.
So we can serve, okay. To bring him glory, okay. Other reasons?
Encourage.
To encourage one another, right? To build one another up. Whose name is made great if gifts are practiced properly? I mean, God's glorified, but specifically that Jesus is magnified, right? So when the gifts of the Holy Spirit are in practice and we are practicing them in the measure of faith that God calls us to, in whatever measure in which he's given us the ability, in the end, Jesus gets all the fame, right? It's not about how great David's gift is or how great Jim's gift is or how great Michael's gift is, but it's about how great a God that we have, that he would gift his people so that in the end, the gift test is much made of Jesus. Is his name made more precious to us as we see the practice of these gifts? Are his people built up? And so one of the things that I wrote here on my note on this point D, so Paul writes this, he says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So one of the gift tests, you know, is this truly a gift from the Lord? Well, maybe ask yourself the question, what's the fruit of it actually being practiced? Are people in his church built up? Are they established? Are they edified? Are they fortified? That edification, that building up, it's making strong. I don't know about you guys, it's Sunday morning. I'm excited to be here, but you know, given the week I had, I kind of walk in with a pretty big limp today. There's just a lot that's gone on this past week. And I am excited when I come to church on Sunday morning, in part because I know this is a time for me to be built up. There's no other day in the week that's like this day. Yeah, I'll get together with my small group, and I work with a couple of guys that I go to church with and all that, but there's nothing quite like what we do on Sunday morning. And so I long to be built up. I missed church 2 weeks in a row last month. I was away on vacation. I don't know about you. I feel that. When I come back home, I'm like cranky, and there's something about my countenance that's just really down. And then I find when I get together with the church, and I just find that God meets us here, I'm built up. And so one of the ways in which we just truly test whether or not a gift is from the Lord is look at the fruit that it bears. Are people strengthened as a result of that gift being practiced? Now, Sunday morning is a great way for us to practice gifts because the whole church is together. And when we're called together, we are called to exercise these gifts. But there are other contexts. You get together one-on-one with a brother or sister in the church where you're reading a book together and you're in accountability together. That's a time to strengthen and use your gifts. You get together in your home group setting. This is a time to practice some things. I mean, we have a ministry time here on Sunday mornings. We have the prophecy microphone. Not everybody's going to make their way to that. It's pretty intimidating, frankly. But in a smaller setting, if this is an area where maybe today you leave more compelled, like, I want to step out in faith. I want to take courage. I don't know if I've got enough courage to go up that microphone today, but I have enough courage when I go to home group next time to just go prepared and just be open to the fact that the Holy Spirit might speak through me. These are great ways for us to practice the types of gifts that God has given to us. So, are his people built up? You are not lacking, he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7, you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. So not only are the gifts given to build up one another, but they're given so that we would make much of the name of Jesus Christ. So I'm going to get to this section on desiring, earnestly desiring gifts. But a question that I was pondering as I was preparing in my own heart, and maybe this means something for you as well, is a little bit like this. Do I long for God's church and his name to be established strong in the world in which I live? Do I long for that? Is it a high priority for me? Do I want to see the name of Jesus made great in this world? Do I want to see his church established and made strong? I do want those things. I hope you want those things. But if you want those things, if that's your desire, don't forget the fact that God's using the practice of spiritual gifts to, in some way, help accomplish that goal. So I've been a pastor for now a long time. 15 years. And as a pastor for 15 years, there's great joy in serving. I've never ever in my lifetime had an opportunity to serve the way I do as a pastor. I love it. But like any job, after the fall, right? Lynn and I were talking about Eden. After the fall, there's a lot of labor and a little bit of fruit, right? And that's what God promised, right? So even as a pastor, there are times things can be discouraging as well. So here's a discouraging point as a pastor. Conversations often go like this. I wish they would do this. Why won't they do that? And I think oftentimes comments like that can be very well-intentioned. Like, I long to see my church do more in this area. I wish we could get more involved in these things. Amen. Too many of those things. But the truth is that if we're going to make much of the name of Jesus Christ, if we're going to make much in terms of building a strong local church, and that we're built strong together, a significant way in which that's going to happen is every one of us earnestly desiring these gifts that God says, I'm giving to you, so that we can actually accomplish those things. You know, I'll confess, as a pastor, one of the things that plays heavy on you is discontentment. I can look down the street, and there's wonderful churches in our community that are X multiple times the size of our church. And in low moments, I can just sit there and just be discouraged. How come we can't be like that? You know, it's just foolishness. We all do that, right? But the truth of the matter is that in proportion of whatever measure of faith that God has given to us, our job is not to wonder about how come we can't look like the church down the street. It's more a matter of what does God want from us today to be faithful for here we are today with these saints. Now, if his intention at some point is to grow us like the church down the street, well, praise God for that. But maybe he doesn't have that intention. But what am I doing today to practice these gifts so that in the place where we are, with the stewardship that we have, that much can be made known of the name of Jesus Christ in all the lives that we touch. And so if it is your desire to see much of Jesus Christ, to see much of the church being established, then I would encourage you earnestly, earnestly, earnestly desire the practice of these spiritual gifts in your life and trust that that's some of the component way, that's some of the ingredients in the cake mix here that God is using to build what he has in store. So 1 Corinthians 12:31. Paul makes that appeal. He says, earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. That's the lead-in to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. That's the end of chapter 12, where he's talking about these gifts. And in chapter 14, he's going to deal significantly with the practice of things like speaking words of prophecy in a gathering, like a Sunday morning meeting, and how tongues with interpretation are to be practiced. So you've got chapter 12 with gifts, you've got chapter 14 with gifts, and that yet sandwiched right in between them is chapter 13, which is the wedding chapter, right? Every wedding mostly features 1 Corinthians 13 being read. It is the definition of what is love. And what does love look like? And it's very appropriate in a wedding setting for us to read chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians because it does set a standard for the types of things that's a tall order for us to live out love the way it's expressed in that chapter. And yet how curious it is that it's thrown right sandwiched around these two chapters on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So really, what is Paul after? Practice these gifts with a heart of love. Love toward God and love toward one another. Is that my phone? That's not my phone. Okay. If we practice these gifts with genuine love toward one another and love toward God, then we'll be practicing them in a way that God intends. In chapter 14, verse 1, pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. So that was the lead into 13, and then that's how you come out of 13. So how do I do this? How do I earnestly desire the spiritual gifts? I'm going to ask you to leave now and just go and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. What are you going to do? How are you going to do that? Well, ask, right? We want to ask God. First of all, it may start with, I don't earnestly desire the gifts. In fact, I'm a little frightened about what that might look like. Just being honest, if that's the position where we are, and start there. God, I'm a little fearful. I don't know what it would look like for me to step out in faith and practice whatever gift you've given to me. So God, give me courage. It might be just that start there to ask in that way. But maybe we're beyond the part of I need to muster up courage. I came here this morning. I came for a class on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So Maybe we're past that point. Maybe it's just more a matter of, okay, so what else will we ask for? Now, these aren't in your notes. These are just some things that I came up with as I was sitting looking through this material and praying about it. I think the first place is for courage. The second place would be to ask God to show you and others how he's gifted you. And I'm specific about that. God, show me where I'm gifted. But so often, it's maybe a bit more revealing, and it's a lot more humbling if you just go and ask other people. I mean, we get so caught up in our own life, and we see all of our own mess, that we can't see at times the real good that God is at work doing because we just see ourselves all the time. So ask your family members, ask people who are closest to you, people in your care group that know you well enough, and ask them, you know, I'm going through this appeal to earnestly desire the gifts in my life. I don't know what they are. Would you give me some insight? Where do you think that I might be able to step out in faith? What have you seen in my life? And just be ready for the answer. They may not know, or they may have a real strong opinion about that. Now, that's not the answer of everything, but it gives you much more of a perspective than just your own. But ask the Lord, reveal to me how you've gifted me. I take your word as a promise that you've gifted to all your people some kind of gift. So I believe that's true about me. I don't know what that gift is, but God, will you show it to me? So maybe even beyond that, maybe you have a sense for how God has gifted you. Maybe some people have spoken into your life, or you've just had a track record now where you see things that are working, right? Maybe some of the things that are on this list here. Maybe then at that point it's, God, strengthen me in this gift. I'm also convinced from Scripture, from the passages that we read, not only does God give gifts, but he gives them in different measure. So he might give me a small amount of faith and someone else a greater amount of faith, both the same gift. But God, strengthen. Would you strengthen this gift for me? It's up to him as to whether or not he's going to do that. I mean, a lot of us, frankly, we're pretty mediocre people, right? So we may not ever rise to the level of significant gifting that we see in other people. But it's never wrong to ask, God, would you make stronger this gift? I have an ability to teach. God, I think you've given me a gift as a teacher. Would you help me to grow stronger in that? Would you show me how to better prepare my heart and my material to be a more effective teacher? Because I want to serve your people. Asking like that. And here's the last one I would encourage you in the ask list from as you pray to earnestly desire the gifts. Ask God for specific occasions to practice your gift. What is my gift? Would you strengthen my gift? Would you give me opportunity to practice the gift? Now, if you look at this list, it's pretty broad. Some of the things that are on this list, you can put on your calendar. Because you know, if you've been given an assignment, I was given this assignment to teach this class a number of weeks ago. I knew it was there. So I can prepare for that. But there's other things that are on this list that the funny way in which God functions in giving gifts, they're not all planned. So often they're spontaneous. And so maybe the prayer is, God, give me an occasion to practice a gift that you want me to exercise with faith. But please don't embarrass me. God, help me today. Let me be used by you today. I want to encourage all of you. As I was praying this morning for the class, one of the things I'm going to send you off with was a challenge. What's one thing that you can do to courageously step out today and practice your gift? Today, I'm not saying Tuesday, I'm saying today. You're among God's people today. What can you do today? Before you get in your car and drive out of this place, what can you do to courageously step out in faith and practice your gift? There's a lot of us in this room. If every one of us was convinced that we're not leaving this parking lot today until we step out in confidence and in faith that God will meet us, I imagine something pretty great is going to happen today. Not because of us, but because of what God wants to work in us. So I'm a guy that always is about practicals. How are we going to do this? So will you take me up on that challenge? We're going to pray at the end, and I want you to join me in that challenge today. Okay. I talked about first. Yes, sir.
Giving gifts.
Excellent. Excellent. Thank you, Blake, for the question. So just for the sake of the recording, so Blake's asked the question. So some of the things on the list, like evangelism, are not only gifts that apparently God gives, but they're also responsibilities and privileges that every Christian has, gifted or not. And so how do we discern the difference between the two? So my quick answer is this. I have no idea. The even quicker answer is this, is that God knows the answer to that question. He does call us to be faithful in doing the types of things that he's called us to do. And yet, I think every one of us can attest to the fact that when you've been around someone who has a gift to evangelize, it's really evident. It's apparent. It's winsome and fruitful. So I long to be around those people to learn from them. I don't consider myself a gifted evangelist. But boy, I want to be more like that. And so, Blake, I would say the answer to the question is earnestly desire, asking the Lord, would you give me these gifts? And yet at the same time, I know there's some of these things are just responsibilities for me as a Christian. God, give me fruit. Whether we're going to call it a gift or not, whether or not you've gifted me in that way, I still want to be fruitful in that. Other comments? Yes. Can you imagine a scenario? I think I'm the best teacher in the world. And there's only one person in the world who believes that, and it's me. And I'm actually a terrible teacher. And if somebody doesn't help me to see that, I'm going to be pursuing something that may be a good discipline to pursue, but it's really not blessing people. So maybe I should be spending my energy elsewhere. So getting some insight from people who know me best, I don't see that there. Oh, but I do see this. Well, praise God. Maybe that's going to send me down the right path. Other comment. Michael, did you have an excellent question? Yes, because we're not just talking about the ordinary gifts. Remind me in a moment, I want to go back to the topic of serving, just to kind of maybe make a point on that. But on the question that Michael asked, so the gifts like prophecy, how do I know if that's a gift? Okay, well, first of all, the same way that I mentioned the gift test, does it bless other people? So specifically, when Paul gets into chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, the direction in which prophecy should go, well, it's a word that's spoken, like we read from 1 Peter, it's the oracles of God. So it's God speaking in the direction of his people, which is the opposite of tongues. Tongues would be a person speaking a tongue that they don't know that's speaking in the direction of God. You're going to, by the way, you're going to get this. You got prophecy and tongues coming up in the fourth and fifth class. So I'm going to give a quick answer to that question, at least from my own personal experience. I don't know if I certainly don't consider myself a prophet, but so I'm weighing things like, will this word bless God's people? Will this be an encouragement to them? So, for example, a lot of times you'll hear people come forth to the prophecy microphone, and the tenor of their conversation is often about speaking to people who are, they're down. They're feeling beaten down. And God wants to minister words of hope to you today from his word. God wants you to know that he cares about you. He knows where you are, and he's not leaving you. He's right there with you. Yes, the challenge that you're facing is real, but you do not face it alone. God says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. So the test there is, does that build a person up? I think the answer to that is yes. Is that practicing prophecy? Well, I think there's an element to this that has to be, this is Jim speaking. I think there has to be an element of spontaneity. I may be parked on a word. I may have been studying all week. I may arrive to the meeting with an intention and a plan to share something that God has really been working in my heart. That's not a bad thing. However, I do think that powerful words of prophecy are often spontaneous, that we may have been studying and thinking those things, but it's in the moment. I feel for me a lot of times, I'm just convinced I'm gonna explode if I don't at least go ask if it's okay to share this word. I think there's somebody here today that is really struggling in an area of sin. And God is not only calling them to repent, but he's also showing them the promise that there is forgiveness for every sin. And I can't leave here today without sharing that. Now, someone might turn me away and say, I don't think that's for today. And I have to be happy with that. I have to be content with that. But does that build a person up? I think it does. Is that consistent with Scripture? It absolutely is. So tests like that. And then just an internal sense. Is this God speaking through me? Is this oracles of the Lord that he wants to minister to his people? When it's done poorly, I'm not saying like in a reckless way. When it's done poorly and it's just us, it typically tends to fall flat. When it's done with power and in fact it is the Lord speaking, those are powerful words. How will we know the difference? When it's spoken. I mean, don't do something foolish and say something that's completely, heretical. But if you're not sure, err on the side of taking confidence and faith and stepping out. There's enough checks and balances out there to help you. But I think more often than not, we sit silent. And then it's that same conversation. I wish they would. And why don't they? And they is us. So stepping out confidently in a word like that. Back to the thing about serving. Serving seems very routine, and it's not much for me to pick somebody up when they've tripped and fallen on the ground. But serving with an attitude, like remember the passage, like serving in their service, right? It also has to do with our attitudes. How about serving people who don't want your help? How about serving people for a long-term period of time that don't appreciate your help, that are critical of your help? Someone who has the gift of serving has, like, they're like impenetrable. They're made of, like, steel. And I mean, words hurt, right? But yet they seem to just have confidence to keep coming back over and over and over and over again. In some ways, without regard to how well they're received. If our practice of gifts is contingent upon whether or not people receive us well, we've actually forgotten the purpose of them. So I think there is something to the element of just even our attitudes and how we do even what seems like the most ordinary gifts that are on this list. Couple of things when we're asking, the challenge here is to ask with right motives. And so I put these in the category, and I'm just thinking through my own lens, right? Personal pride affects our motives. When I'm asking God that list of asks that I mentioned before, and I'm asking God for these things, you know, I think there's a couple of guardrails that we want to be careful of. One, on one side of the road is the guardrail that just makes me just feel sorry for myself. I'm just in self-pity. Oh, I can't believe that guy's got that great gift over there, and mine's just terrible. I wish I had this. You know, Alan's so good at this, and I'm terrible about that. I mean, that's just feeling sorry for ourselves. And it's hard to imagine that that's actually pride, but it is. It's just I think much of myself. I think, well, my discontentment reveals that I'm not happy with what God has provided. I'd rather instead, my neighbor's yard right now looks great. Mine looks terrible. I wish I had his yard. You know, it's the same thing. I mean, it's just bound up in our heart. We are going to be ineffective servants with whatever gift God has given to us if we do it with discontent hearts, always longing for something different and something better. That's one side of the road. That's the guardrail we want to stay away from. The other side of the road is how great am I? I mean, that was great. That word was awesome. I mean, this church cannot function without me and my gift. What pride, what arrogance. No, God will do just fine. I mean, here's a news tip for all of us. How mysterious it is that God will accomplish great purposes like making the name of Jesus Christ known in this world and how he will build up and establish his church. And he's doing it through us, through these gifts. Newsflash, he doesn't need us and he doesn't need our gifts. What a privilege and what an invitation to practice these things. But God is not nervous, wringing his hands, wondering, I wonder if Philip is going to step out and do this gift thing today because today's his day. Boy, I sure hope it's going to work out for Philip. Now, God's just fine. He'd do just fine without all of us. But how mysterious it is that he invites us to be a part of what he intends to do today. So I want you to step out courageously today and practice whatever gift that God has given to you. But if you don't do that, God doesn't need you. He will accomplish all that he intends. But don't you want to join him in that? Don't you want to be a part of that? Don't you want to be a part of what God is building? So let's avoid self-pity, let's avoid the arrogance, and let's be faithful men and women who earnestly desire what God has called us to. All right, I'm looking at the time, just want to make sure we're good. We've got 15 minutes left before the class is over. So this section 3, we're on page 5, is seeking opportunities to test your gifting. So I mentioned before, that's one of the asks I would encourage us. Asking the Lord, God, would you give me opportunity today, this week, in this season of my life, would you give me opportunities to exercise, practice, and strengthen the gifts that you've given to me? So that's what our pursuit should be. It says in this paragraph, this simply means seeking ways God would have you serve and being alert to opportunities or promptings from the Spirit to use a spiritual gift. This opens up the possibility that, well, this is what I underline, while you may be particularly gifted in a particular area, God may choose to manifest a gift through you that is not regularly a part of your experience. It's a little bit of what I was referring to before in prophecy, like the spontaneity of it. You may have some experience and you may have some giftedness on a consistent basis to speak words of prophecy, for example. But I can tell you, some of the most meaningful, most impactful words over the last 25 years I've been here in the church has often come from a person who is very rarely, if ever, at that prophecy microphone. I love when Mike Knoll comes up. He's there often, and I think he's got great wisdom to share with us. But I also appreciate the fact that the person who hasn't been there ever shows up, and there's power with the word that they share. It may not be done perfectly. It may be done with a broken voice. But we know when God is with us and when God speaks through a word like that, it just changes the whole tenor of the meeting. I'm not saying misdirection. I'm just saying that God wants to speak. He's got something to share today. And so often, that's the case. I think some other ways that God spontaneously works through people. When we're praying for one another and invitations come to pray for healing, I don't know very many people in the church, and maybe this is to my shame as a pastor, I should know more of them because I know they're there, but when we're praying that God would bring healing, I don't know a lot of people who have the gift of healing in our church, but I've heard plenty of accounts of people who have been miraculously healed when they've been prayed for. So it's stepping out in faith, trusting God at His promises, gifted or not, at least for what we think we might be able to do, just trusting that God wants to minister. If He says such a thing as healing takes place, well, who's He going to use? Hopefully He'll use gifted people who heal, but the truth of the matter is He wants to invite all of us, whether it's evangelism, healing, or otherwise, that we would have enough confidence and faith to draw near to Him, trust Him in His promises, and ask, and keep asking. So those are some opportunities, I think, in my lifetime anyway, when I look. Another example. So a fair amount of stage time has been given to our young adults in the retreat that they shared last year. So I happen to have three sons who were on that retreat last year. And in anticipation for that event, a number of us were really praying that God would really reveal Himself in a powerful way. And the testimony from that weekend was really miraculous because that's exactly what He did. And so individuals who had really no background, history, experience, or track record of praying for one another, of speaking words of prophecy, of ministering to one another, God gifted them that weekend in powerful ways. And it was a life-altering weekend for several people. There were individuals who were saved as a result of what took place on that weekend. And I think if you go back and you look at it now and you ask some of the people who were there, there were some people who have continued to kind of walk out faith and practice those gifts that God has given to them. But there's other people, not because they lack faith, it seemed like it was for that weekend and it was for that time. And so they're not necessarily doing those same things right now. And that's not at all an indictment on them. It just means God arrived. God worked spontaneously for 2.5 days in times of ministry to one another. And praise God for that. I long for revival in the church. I long for opportunities like that. I can get mechanistic in that and just expect, well, if it happened then, it should happen now. I do want that to be my expectation, but I never want to lose sight of the fact that God works in strange, spontaneous ways. And to a person who was on that trip, they would tell you that there was nothing, that their experience was, they've never had an experience quite like that. God arrived. So there's a long quote here from Henry Blackaby and Claude King. I underlined a couple of things. In the middle of that passage, in the middle of that quote, it says, "The evidence of God's supernatural activity is what we usually identify as spiritual gifts." So the evidence of that activity. "But a person who has never accepted an assignment will not likely know or see his spiritual gifts." In other words, the author is making the point is, how will we know if we're gifted in a particular way? Well, so often the challenge or the invitation is like guys like me coming up here and say, well, search out and find where you're gifted. And that's a good thing to do. But identify where you're gifted first and then pursue assignments toward that end. That's fine. But sometimes that's pretty safe because I might be given an assignment and I say, well, you know, I've been really kind of evaluating this whole gift thing and I don't think that's for me, so I don't think I should do that. Well, maybe. Or maybe God wants to bring that assignment to you because it's going to put you in a position where you're having to step out in faith and trust. And there's no guarantee that you're going to have gifting to do it well. Be faithful and do the preparation of whatever's necessary. But if given an assignment, so often, in my life anyway, so often, I remember when I was a younger man and I was given opportunities to teach, I didn't want to do it at all. And I was fearful. And yet, I was asked to do it, so I just did it. And I think that became, for me, opportune times to identify, actually, there may be some gifting there. And so my appeal to all of us is, when an assignment comes, take it. Take it. Don't take something that is contrary to Scripture, right? But if you're given an assignment and it's a challenge, take it and ask God for help. And who knows? He may use that as the way in which he's going to reveal to you how he has gifted you. Yes? I think that's a great question for the sake of the recording. So I earnestly desire a specific gift. I've been stepping out in faith to practice that gift. It doesn't seem like there's a lot of fruit relative to that practice. Should I continue or should I kind of move on and mine somewhere else? I think the answer is yes to both. There is still, I mean, at some point, I think you have to get to the place of, you know, I'll look at this list here. I do believe apostles are a gift that is still in the church today. Okay, that would be contrary to the position that our denomination is taking. We're willing to accept that, but the denomination is taking the position that apostles aren't for today. We the elders in the church, would argue, actually, we do believe it is. So that's aside. But yes. So I won't go into that. This is not the doctrinal time to go into all that. But I will say this. I don't consider myself an apostle. I can earnestly desire that gift, but I don't see it. I don't think anybody has come to me and said, you know, I think you're an apostle. So I'm not earnestly desiring that. There may have been a time. No, I'm not saying there was. But theoretically, I could have been. I believe that the Lord has maybe given me the gift of apostleship. I want to pursue that. And I could have pursued it. And then practically speaking, I just get to the place of, you know, I think that this isn't our exhaustive list, but it's a pretty big list anyway. I think maybe my time is better spent pursuing something else. So that's my long way of answering both ways to your question. So sorry about that. Yes. That's
just,
it, yes.
That's just from my experience.
Yes. I it's not wrong to want any of those things, but if God has chosen not to give me that thing at some point, I do have to be content with that and say, okay, well, Lord, you've gifted me in these other ways. I don't want to fall prey to the pride side of that guardrail I mentioned where I just, oh, I wish I was an apostle. I mean, that's making me less than fruitful in the areas that God has gifted me, Michael. And I think you had a question. Did you have a question? So we got three guys lined up. Michael, you go first. Yes. And let's face it. I mean, until we stop taking breath in this life, God can gift us. He may gift me 10 years from now in a way that I'm not gifted today. And I really want to be open to that. So it doesn't mean I put it all on the shelf. It doesn't mean I put it all on the shelf. It's still in my mind. And yet, if my motivation is I want to do the things that are going to build the church up, build my brothers and sisters up in Christ, I want to do the things that make much of the name of Jesus Christ, I want to do things that are consistent with Scripture, if my attitude and my heart is there, then whatever gift he gives me, I really am going to be satisfied, not only satisfied with it, but actually want to cultivate and grow it all the more. And yet I don't think we should give up. I just think that there's measure. Yes. Yes. Yes, I agree with that. And isn't it interesting as we're having this conversation, it is so much to do with our own hearts and trying to wrestle with the mystery of what God hasn't completely revealed to us, right? So it's that's a little, I mean, we come to a class on spiritual gifts, and we can go through an inventory and all that, but the truth is these gifts and the practice of them meets our heart. We want and long for things, and sometimes we long for really good things, and sometimes we long for things that aren't good at all. But God gives us these gifts in the context of people who are just battling out day after day. They seem that way in the New Testament. I think in the book of Acts and in the epistles, there are occasions where it seems like it's spontaneously, a gift is spontaneously given, and then, I mean, you don't hear of it again. And so I think the possibility of something being here and gone is certainly real. I mean, the reason why I think all of us are here in a class like this is not so much that. If God's going to miraculously, spontaneously move, as long as we're open people, we're going to be open to that. So let's have courage for that. But really, I think what we're all after is, God, how have you gifted me? And how can I practice that in a way that makes much of the name of Jesus and that builds up your church? And so I think a lot of the energy that we spend is more on the things that are here and a consistent part of our everyday life. I got us off track.
I think everything in between.
Yeah, amen. Thanks, Dan, for sharing that. And hopefully this doesn't embarrass you. I want to use, actually, Dan as a good example of this. So Dan loves to play music, and there was a lot of musicians in the church. And so the opportune time for him to lead worship, there's just not a lot of opportunities for that. So Dan made a very purposeful decision that said, I think given the fact that those opportunities aren't really there, though I love to do it, I'm going to find myself a place of service. And so Dan took over the ministry for the sound in the sound booth. And I heard, and the reason I'm bringing this up, I heard it less than a week ago. Two people commented to me how significant your service has made. It's dramatically transformed the experience of all the people who serve on that team. So here's a man who is bearing good fruit, I would say gifted in the area of leadership and giving people sound direction for what they should follow. And it's bearing great fruit. It's building up the body. How did that happen? It happened by circumstance. The opportune times, the opportunities for me to lead worship, they weren't really there. I love doing it. Rather than being offended or hurt by it, well, okay, well, I'm going to take that. That door's closed. What about over here? And he's bearing great fruit for that. God, help us that we would have that kind of an attitude. So when we come to serve in whatever way he's given to us, he's going to put us in the right place. He may do it circumstantially, or he may do it in some other means, but so much of it is just our own heart in the process. If we don't let our heart get in the way, we're going to be willing to say yes to a lot of things that God wants us to.
Just encourage people on that team where the Lord had me.
That's trusting God, right? So this last point here, it says, be faithful with the gifts that you now have. We've just talked all about that. But the last thing I want to say, it's not in your notes. I'm going to leave you with one point. I'm not going to read the passage. I'll point you to a passage. I'm going to leave you with one point to consider regard to gifts that isn't in the notes, and then I'm going to leave you with some questions. Okay? The point is this. Think of the gifts of the Spirit. God gives these gifts. We started, God is the giver of every good and perfect gift, right? He gives these gifts. He gives these gifts also with a mindset that we're to be stewards of what he's handed to us. You know, we're stewards, we're managers of something that isn't ours. He's given us a gift, but it came from him. He does that with our money, right? He gives us money, so we're going to give a portion of that back. We're going to be faithful in how we spend our money because we are stewards and managers of that which doesn't belong to us. Gifts are the same way. God, and so if you can go study this on your own, but in Matthew chapter 25, there is that parable of the giving of the talents. And so three men were given by the master different levels of talents. And then he came back to get an account for how they spent their talents. And the one who was fearful and didn't practice anything and buried in the ground because he didn't want it to go away because he knew the master was a hard man, he was rebuked for his unwillingness to practice. But the other two, they both practiced and they bore fruit in different ways because God had given them, the starting point was greater for one than it was the other, but they both did the same thing. They used what God gave them and they practiced it according to the way he had asked them to, and he commended them in the end. Serving with the gifts that God has given to us, whatever they are, is stewardship. So be faithful stewards of the gifts that God's given to you. All right, so I am mindful of where we are on the time. I'm just going to give you some questions for practical application. And had I thought about this well enough ahead of time, I would have given them to you in writing, but I didn't. So first of all, first question, what do you want? Came to class today on spiritual gifts. It wasn't because we served food. Why'd you come? What do you want? Question two. Do you or the people who know you best have a sense where you might be gifted by the Holy Spirit? Question three. How might pride be impacting the growth of your giftedness? I articulated pride in the sense of the woe is me, feeling sorry for myself, or the arrogance that comes along with it. But how is pride maybe playing a role? Or maybe a more positive way to say that is, what opportunity, if humility is applied in your pursuit of gifts, what difference might it make? Pride and humility on the opposite ends. Question four. What aspect of earnestly desire do you sense that God wants you to incorporate in your prayers this week? Remember, I gave the asks, like ask God to show me where I'm gifted, ask God for courage. So which part of the ask process, where are you? And are you willing to incorporate in your prayers this week? So my final question, question five, is what I've already asked. Is every one of us in this room right now, are we willing to take one courageous step today in practicing whatever gift God's given to us. Will you take courage today? Will you do it before you leave here today? Because all these people, we can hear their voices now starting to assemble. All these people here, God's brought us together so we would build one another up. Sound good? Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness to order our time and bring us together. We thank you that we can be challenged from your word about the pursuit and practice of spiritual gifts in our lives. We are awed over the reality that you will take people like us and use gifts that you've given to us to accomplish kingdom work. So God, it's not too bold for us to ask, would you build your kingdom through us today? Because it's faithful to your promise that you say you will. So God, help us today. Help us, everyone in this room today, help us to take one step of raw courage to practice the gifts that you've given to us and trust that you will build up your church as a part of that process. We praise you and we thank you. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. Thank you.